Hello, welcome everybody to the Mother's Day post-mortem wrap-up on the Mega 64. We're going to be discussing all the disgusting topics of conversation you had with your mom yesterday.
Yeah. I thought we'd start with kind of a round table, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Maybe we just start, but let's catch up to yesterday. Yesterday was obviously... Mother's Day is huge, but let's go back to the past first and catch up. What's the worst conversation you've ever had with your mother? Go ahead.
Let's start with Sean.
Well, I mean, I got to think about it.
My worst, just most awful, uncomfortable conversation.
Yeah.
I don't really remember having any conversations with my mom that was like...
I'll start. I'll start.
Okay.
Derek will break the ice.
Yeah, I'll start. I was 7 years old, said, Mom, where do babies come from? She said, let me show you. Dress went right up.
Oh, no.
This face turned white, if you could believe that.
Oh, man.
Pale as the driven snow.
Oh.
And I...
She could have just explained it.
Always knew what a vag looked like after that.
Damn.
Wow.
What were you going to say?
Nothing compared to that.
Oh, okay. What was yours?
This is something that's came to the top of my head that my mom is just, you think by the time you get into your 30s, she can't embarrass you anymore.
Yeah.
Like, she used to embarrass me all the time, and that's just life. I remember, I made a list right before, but there was a time I really embarrassed my mom. Seeing, she got a ticket, and so I ran into the restaurant where she got a ticket outside. I'm like, Mom's got a ticket. There's a cop outside. I don't know why I did it to the whole restaurant. I did. And she was embarrassed because she walked in and she was a ticket lady. So then she's like, I'm going to get you back one day. So then we're walking through the store like a week later, and then I'm in seventh grade, and there's a girl I recognized from seventh grade who I just knew, but no, whatever.
Nice.
And so she walked past me and she's like, oh, hey, Sean. I'm like, oh, hey, Kelly. And my mom screams out, that's the Kelly that you like?
Oh, dude.
Oh,
I was like, I'm in
no.
Seventh grade. I was like,
she was your wingman. She was trying to like.
Your mom's awesome.
And then I was like, Mom, that's so fucked up that you did that. I'm like, what if Kelly did like me and now you got our hopes up because I don't like Kelly, Mom.
Oh, great.
So anyways, my mom just is
Your mom sounds like she's helping you out.
Yeah, exactly.
She sounds
breaking
like, yeah. Honestly, I don't,
Your mom
you know,
sounds cool. Kelly's going to think you're cool by comparison.
I don't want to offend you.
Yeah.
Sounds like you were being a little bitch, and your mom, like, served it up to you on a silver platter. Hey, is that the Kelly you want to get with? Boom. Made it happen. She broke the ice, like Frank said.
And then I married Kelly.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh.
Nice, dude.
Yeah, does Jenny know?
What? Anyways.
That's not embarrassing. That shouldn't count.
No.
My story was way more awkward.
Yeah, that's true.
When I was 12, I asked my mom to buy me a porn magazine, but she said no. But now I'm 27, I can buy all I want.
Nice.
So, you know, just wait 15 years and you can make your dreams come true.
That was balls.
Yeah, hey. Man, 12-year-old Frank.
I remember my dad.
What porn magazine was it? Do you remember?
Dude, whatever generic shit they sold at
Wet Asses.
Was it Knockers?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember.
Was it Slobber Knockers?
Dude, I don't know, because like...
Fart Knockers?
I feel like, I don't know, I haven't looked at like porn magazines in so long. But like, I feel like there's generic ones that are like slimy. Yeah. I don't know, probably slimy.
Generic
slimy.
Porn.
Generic porn, it's slimy.
Was it Pornhub, the magazine? I probably wasn't around back then.
No.
The magazine is called Generic Porn, and the tagline under it is, I don't know, .. just doing it.
Yeah. It's a white room with black text says generic porn.
Oh, it was National Geographic.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
I remember my dad had a conversation with me when I was like 14. He pulled me aside.
Nice.
And this is an awkward conversation dad, so it kind of changes the theme a little bit. But
he
said,
knows some stuff.
Hey.
Yeah.
If you ever want a magazine or something,
let
me know and I'll get it for you.
Mad Magazine.
I will do that for you.
Yeah.
Hey, Dad, could you get me Dog Owners Quarterly?
Tips and tricks.
So if you want something, and then I would.
Better Homes and Garden.
That's really nice that he offered to do that. I will never ask you for that.
What?
I thank you. I never did.
Hey, there are some expensive magazines out there.
Yeah,
you know.
GQ?
Yeah, get one of them French fashion magazines. Oh, it's like 30 bucks an issue.
Oh, I was referring to a pornography magazine.
Oh, but was your dad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He just said a magazine.
Dude, well, Xbox magazine came with a free demo disc. He could have played like Amp.
He knew.
Damn.
Did he have like examples? Like if you want Hustlers,
yeah.
If you want Playboy, why is it close to Marshawn? I'm doing the holding up the Invisible Magazine bit.
Sean, the magazine industry is dying, and you could have supported them.
Whatever, Hustler, Playboy. What do you want, Sean?
If you want
which way you
packers,
want?
We got them all.
He offered you piss packers.
He offered me some.
You got the piss packers.
Is that
the piss packers package?
Is that a football / fetish magazine?
Yeah.
You know, if you're from Green Bay and you're
it's
into
girls
the pissing,
wearing Green Bay
scene.
Packers and men wearing Green Bay Packers jersey just pissing.
Wow.
Yep.
Nice. I think my most awkward conversation is going to take a little bit of a left turn at the end, but. My mom, I remember when, you know, you're like in school, I don't remember what grade, but you know, you have like the sex ed classes you're going to take and you need a permission slip. I remember my mom sitting me down and being like, hey, let me know when they do those classes. Cause I want to make sure that, you know, I want to make sure you don't miss that. You know, you should take those and you know, whatever. And so you might be thinking, oh, it was awkward hearing about taking a sex ed class. Mm. No, that's not why it was awkward. Yeah. I had already forged the slip. And turned it in. And then I remember just thinking, why did I do that? Like, she wasn't not going to do it.
I know why you did
it. And I just think,
to make sure he got in.
Yeah, I think when I was in fifth grade, I just didn't want to bring it up.
No, you didn't.
And so I just signed it and turned it in. But I remember questioning my motives at that point.
Did she know you did that? Did she find out?
No, I just said, okay, I'll take it. She didn't know about, like, it just never came. And I, you know.
I remember sixth grade. They gave us sex ed in sixth grade and eighth grade in my school. And I was
for us it was fifth and eighth.
Weird. Interesting.
For some reason.
They start you early. But I was cavalier about it. I was like, Mom, sex ed is starting later this month. I'm going. So you got a problem with that? You gotta go through me.
Yeah. Yeah, the one in fifth grade there was you had to get signatures and stuff, but eighth it didn't.
And
eighth by that point.
I remember too, they gave out a syllabus for the parents to look at, like this is what we're gonna be covering.
Right.
You know,
I just recently got one of those syllabuses.
Reproductive organs, the uterus, and then boom, lesson four, sexual intercourse. And truth be told, I didn't know what sexual intercourse was, but I figured
sounded
it out.
Sounded badass.
I'm looking at the paper, and I'm like, okay, so where do they talk about sex? Like, straight up. And I was like, sexual intercourse. Hmm. Not sure what intercourse means, but I bet it means this.
I've said it.
I don't know what this means, but I bet I'll find out.
I bet it means, like,
sex.
Boom. It means boning. I've said it before. We talked about it a bunch of times, but how bad the school system failed me in that regard because every class that I took at the grade school that I was at assumed we all knew all this shit. And I just think back to how many classes there were that were like, okay, so this and this, well, then you know what happens. And I remember sitting there as a kid like, no, I don't know what happens. I have no idea what happened. They were like not very good teachers.
Well, you know, also, I think it was newer.
Yeah, it really was. Like, wink, wink. Like, somebody asked what 69 means, and the teacher was like, oh, come on. And then would move on. And I'm like 12 going, I don't know. What? I've never even heard of 69 bad? What is that? I don't know what that is. So, yeah, that was awful. High school, then it was all.
They
got 69 everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're talking about 69 left and right, you know. Thank you,
I was, dude, this is such an awkward. Okay, you want to talk about real fucking awkward?
Yeah.
You want to talk about real fucking awkward?
Yeah.
I was I was about in sixth grade, and where do I start this story? Okay, I'm going to start this story on the streets.
Whoa.
I'm hanging out. I grew up on a cul-de-sac. I was like a middle kid. There were some kids younger than me. There were some kids older than me. There were about five kids who lived on my block. And the oldest kid one day, he was like, hey, you guys know what 69 is? And we were like, no. And he was like, you want to find out? And we were like, yeah, let's do it. He's like, yo, give me a piece of chalk. Give me a piece of sidewalk chalk. And he wrote the number 69 on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
This is like sexual education from the street.
Oh, yeah.
The school did, they taught me what this meant, but they never taught me what 69 meant. So he wrote 69, drew it in chalk on the sidewalk, and then he went, six is the guy, and nine is the girl. And we're like, okay, all right, following along so far, so good.
Yeah, I got this.
What does it mean? And he's like, well, means you're having sex. Because the six, you know, the six, how do I do this for the camera? You know, the six is the line with the bulge on bottom. The bulge on bottom, that's the guy. That's the penis. And then the nine, the bulge is on top. Those are the boobs. That's the girl.
Awesome.
So you put them together, guy here, girl here. They're naked because you could see the bulges. So you put them together, they're like having sex. So he explained to us that 69 meant having sex.
Nice.
Wow. Nice. Enough said.
Not the awkward part. No. Fast forward to
yesterday.
I don't know. I don't know how much later, but I'm at a friend's house, and man, this was so long ago, and I've partially blocked this out. But basically, long story short, dad comes out and asks the mom, like, what are we doing later? And she's like, what do you mean? He's like, you know what I mean? Well, I'm talking about 69. Everybody, what? All these kids are in the room, and they're like, we know what that means. And the dad, like, freezes, and he's like, you know what that means? And everybody's like, yep. And he goes, what does it mean?
Oh, fuck.
Oh, and, yeah, and then it's fuck. And then it's a bunch of kids who don't really know what it is, right. But who think they do, and they're just like, nobody wants to say it. So we're like, means having sex. And then it was just very awkward, like, you know what it means. Forget I said it. And he just like slowly backs that? Out of the room.
Why would you say that? I remember in third grade, our school was like, you know, like most schools, they have like the place where you play, but there's like the big, wide, sandy area that like you don't like go like towards like the fence of the school, but you can.
Yeah.
And we are running laps around, and we found a VHS porno. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we were like, holy shit, you guys. Like,
I found one of those.
This is like finding gold when you're in third grade. Yeah. And I'm like, I can't believe we have this. And then one of the people in my group was super religious and said, you guys can't have this. And he took it and he threw it over the fence. Threw it over the fence.
That sucks.
Into like this, like, we have like, it's like
holy warrior.
No, thou shalt not steal, first of all.
Yeah. There was a canyon on the other side of the fence. And so we see it like go down and like fall. He's like ice plant.
It's slow motion.
Like, dude, what the fuck, Jerry? Why?
You know Jerry went to go grab that later.
Well, here's the thing.
He claimed it for himself.
The rest of like our fucking lives is trying to find an excuse to go over there and look for that VHS.
Is it still
and we never could do it. Maybe it's still there.
Let's go.
It's
fine. I mean, it.
There were times my mom was like, I'll pick you up a little late for school. And I'd be like, all right, I got 15 minutes. I'd go like run around the back
into
of the school.
The canyon.
Like, where did it go? Never found it.
That reminds me of another story. When I was probably like 9, I had an older cousin. He was 5 years older than me, so he was like 14. And we would walk by ourselves to the supermarket to like buy candy, get snacks and stuff. Our parents would just let us go. This was a long time ago. You wouldn't let a 9-year-old walk to the supermarket with their cousin these days. Well, maybe you would. I don't know. But back then we were by ourselves and we're walking to the supermarket. And yeah, by the dumpsters, my cousin finds this VHS tape and it in handwritten in Sharpie. XXX.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, oh! And I'm like 9 years old, like, what's on that tape? And he's like, look! Triple X! And I was like, yeah, what does that mean? He's like, XXX means porno. What? It means people are having sex. That's the first time I found out what triple X meant, because we found this tape and it just had a triple X on it. He explained to me, like, oh, that's code for people having sex.
The first time I ever saw porn, it was by accident. And it was a really weird story of I was on vacation and I was hanging out in my parents' like friend's room. And it was like they were basically watching as my parents went to dinner. And so they were like older and they're going through the channels. And for some reason, the porn channel was not scrambled. And it was just
that
like
happened to me
porn.
Once.
And you could tell the heartbreak in that dude's face when, like, he found porn that wasn't scrambled and then realized that we were in the room. He's like, ah! we'll put on Nickelodeon.
You want to hear one last really awkward story about finding porn? So later on in life, sixth grade, we were one of the first people to have a satellite. And it wasn't DirecTV. Like, my house, when I was 10 years old, we actually had a 10-foot satellite on top of our house with this tuner in the living room. And you could switch to satellite channels, but the channels were weird. It was, you would have to pick a letter, like A through Z, and then every letter had like 25 channels on it. So you could go to like A11 or, you know, B20. And every time you put in a new coordinate, you would hear the satellite on the roof. As it would hum. Moved into position.
Yeah, that's how they work.
So I, as a kid, like, what is on satellite TV? I'm getting channels from all over the world. There's no way to, like, how do you know what's on this? So I would just spend time, like, flipping through every single channel. Boop. All right, A1. Okay, Spanish news. A2. Boop. Okay, this. A3, A4. I would do this every day. And one day, I'm doing my bit, just seeing what's on all the channels. And my mom and her and my aunt are in the kitchen drinking coffee and talking, which is right next to the living room.
Yeah.
And there's a big mirror in my living room on the wall behind me. So it's like a wall-length mirror. They could clearly see what's on the TV. And I'm going through the J's. I'll never forget. J6. Boop. Okay, interesting. J7. Boop. Maybe I've told this on the podcast before.
Yeah, but I heard it.
I hit channel up. It goes to J9. Boop. What the fuck? J9? I was just on J7. Hold on. Go back down. Hit down on the thing. Goes back to J7. What the fuck? It's skipping J8.
What?
It's just skipping it. Hold on.
I think I know.
I put the controller in and I manually punched in the coordinates. J8.
Oh.
TV unscrambles. It's this guy holding this naked chick, pussy out towards the camera, and he's fucking her. Dick into the pussy shot.
Oh.
And I'm like, I'm 10 years old, and I just stumbled on this. What? What?
Oh.
And my mom, suddenly I just hear a voice from across the house. What the fuck are you watching? J9. And she's like, I can't believe you're watching that. And my aunt goes, what? What's he watching? She's like, pornography. And my aunt, I'll never forget, she asked the question. She goes, I don't know why this happened, but she goes, what do you mean, like two people kissing? And then I went, as a 10-year-old, I went, no, it's this. And I put it back on.
And it cuts back.
And this guy is like eating this chick out.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Now my mom and my aunt are both like, ah! Like, turn this off. And
why would you go back?
Because I was, I don't know. Honestly, wanted an excuse to go back.
Yeah.
Okay, you want to know what I was watching?
I'll
put it back on. So she, like, basically, you know, runs over, turn the satellite off. You're not allowed to use this satellite, and you're never, ever allowed to go to that channel again, ever. Even when I'm not home, you could never do that. Oh, I promise, Mom, I'll never go to. I don't even know why that was. I don't even like that kind of stuff. What was that? A wiener? I don't know. Next day, my mom is gone.
Of course.
The next moment I have the house alone, grab that fucking microphone, J8, put it on. Channel blocked.
No!
She called. Yeah.
Fuck.
I don't know who got that channel in my house. Probably my dad. I'm not going to point fingers.
Yeah.
Maybe it was him.
But we'll point satellites.
But my mom talked to somebody and made sure that that channel was
phone calls.
Never available ever again.
Call him back now and scramble it.
So that was the one time I got caught watching porno by my mom. I wasn't really watching it. She was just there at the moment where I discovered it.
I was always jealous of people with the satellite setup because depending on... I know some people who had like a gigantic satellite like in their yard. And you could, like, watch shows, like, way ahead of time on those.
You can get, 3 hours early. Get East Coast feed.
Yeah. But sometimes things would beam in. It's like they would beam in with to the station even earlier, I think, sometimes than what was even supposed to air or whatever. Like, I know when I was younger, when I was probably, like, sixth grade, what was exciting for me was that there were they would beam in the Fox Kids shows like way early, like super early in the morning, like 5 a.m. For some reason, people with this giant satellite would get these kid shows that early. So, loving Power Rangers at that age, I would check internet message boards, and there was a guy who like watched every episode at 5 a.m. and would write if it was cool or not. So it was like, all right, today's Power Rangers Turbo. Oh my God, you're not going to believe they fight this guy named Gold Goyle and things will never be the same. Oh, fuck. I'm so excited. It's like that was my routine every morning before school is I would check the thing. And if the guy was like, "Nah, this monster's a pushover," I'd be like, all right, well, maybe I'll do my homework first.
Yeah, I used to like watching SNL with my dad.
Oh, yeah.
I used to be a big SNL fan. We watched it at 8:30.
Oh, yeah, you could see it early, yeah.
And then if it was really funny, I'd get to watch it again at 11.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Oh, yeah.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, isn't it funny how SNL was, you know, I talk shit on SNL and I could give a fuck about like it currently or whatever. But how funny, what an American institution that is or was or whatever. Like, I guess it still is. I mean, whatever. Yeah, that was such a big thing when I was younger. Anyway, that's all I was going to say.
Walter Pickers, we never said theme song.
Fucking pornos. Did you ever, when you were a kid, see, this is so funny. I used to watch porno. This is going to be all porno cast. Sorry, I'm going to warn you now. I used to watch porno in a group setting. I would never watch a pornography with less than like four other dudes.
Yeah, the only time I ever really saw it, the first time I ever really saw it was, like I said this before, on my field trip to Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
With someone's room unscrambled.
Yeah. Wow, okay. Could you imagine being your age now? Like, calling up, yo, guys, want to come over watch some pornos? Like,
hey,
let's all get together, watch some people fuck.
There is a video that I watched. I was going through a lot of our old personal channel videos recently, just like haven't seen him in a while. And there was a series that we filmed with Eric called the Earlier Series. Mm-hmm. And it would be like, you'd see the end and then say earlier and then show you what that meant. So there was one where it's like five of us sitting, like I don't have my shirt on and we look super uncomfortable. And it says earlier, and it was like, we should watch porn. And it's like, that was the bit. But like, we were just talking about, like, you would never do that. You would never do that. It's so fucking weird. But when you're a kid, it's like an experience because, like, you don't have another way to watch
it. It's dangerous. You don't want to go alone.
Well, the weight of it is not quite on you at that point either. You know what I mean? Where you quite realize the depth of what you're doing.
I was 10, I was jerking off.
Well, I know, like I said, I grew up on a cul-de-sac, so there were a bunch of kids. If we were all going to do something bad, we all had to be in on it. If the one kid didn't want to watch porno and all the rest did, then that was a threat that kid would rat us out. Like, everybody else went to watch naked movies, but not me, Mom! And she'd call all our other moms. So it's one of those things where it's like, you know, a brotherhood of thieves. Like, either we're all in or none of us are doing this.
Right.
And so we would all, get together. My friend actually had like a black box, one of those illegal cable boxes that would unscramble channels, and he had access to a softcore channel. So when his parents weren't home, nice. I remember we'd all go hang out, and everybody, the older kid, once again, he would hand out pillows to everybody. The oldest kid of the group, he'd be like, here, everybody, here's a pillow. And I remember once being like, what do I need a pillow for? He's like, you put that on your lap because I don't want to see if you have a boner. So then everybody would just sit there with a pillow on their lap. There's like five boys from like fourth grade to ninth grade, and we're all just sitting there with pillows on our laps watching softcore porno, which is like topless chicks eating ice cream and like kissing each other. Weird. End of story. No punchline. Just a little insight into my childhood. Yeah. I did nice, wholesome things too, but we're not going to talk about
that's
that.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, not as good. The internet was still like a rare commodity when in like... I had the internet. I've said this before. I had the internet in 92, but it didn't really have images or anything. That didn't come until 95. But from 95 till like probably 99, the internet was still like, whoa, you have the internet? Whoa. And I only like read up on like video games and shows that I liked. That's really all I used it for. And every kid at school was always asking about porn. It was always like, Hey, Rocco, I don't know if anyone uses your computer, but I heard Jenny McCarthy has this page that, and it was just like, I never really participated in that. It wasn't until I was older that everyone had the internet, and then it was like you didn't have to ask your friend in sixth grade to go over their house or whatever. But that it seemed like anytime anybody got together to use the internet, people got together for that. It was about something like that. And it was just like, don't you want to, I just want to look up Tekken. Like, what?
No way, we're going to Rotten.com.
Yeah.
Fuck, this is like bringing back a memory that like I never really mentioned.
The time you finger banged somebody?
I've never done it. I don't have a story. this is something that I don't think I've ever spoken out loud. So it's not even that bad, but.
This is gonna be fucked up.
I was at my friend's house, and we went to Playboy.com and printed out like 8 pictures of these naked girls. And then my friend got super panicked that you could recall what was printed on that printer.
Yeah, print queue.
He was like, they'll find out.
So he destroyed the printer.
He broke the printer.
Oh my God! What?
Destroy the evidence.
Broke the printer.
Wow, yeah, that's badass.
And it was such like a, he printed those pictures for me, so I can't tell anyone that this happened because he did this for me, and I'll take this to the grave with me. I don't think you care anymore. But
you know what's great, too, is you can easily open the print queue and clear it.
Yeah.
So easy.
Yeah,
so
easy.
It's easier to break it, though.
Yeah. Oh, for a kid, it's easier to break it, for sure.
Wow, that's crazy.
He like smashed it on the ground, like, and then told his parents, like, I just tripped and fell into it, and the thing knocked over.
I mean, I remember as a kid, my mom came home, and she opened my door, and immediately I turned the power off the computer. I'm just in my room. The computer's off. It's easier to just destroy something.
But you know what?
Clear it.
But you know what's funny is I did that all the time with my parents, too. I'd use the computer, and when they'd come in, I would, like, turn the monitor off.
Yeah.
And, but you know, I was never really doing anything that bad, but it was like, I was in, like, chat rooms with my friends and going... It was like, I still just didn't want to like share that with them. You know what I mean? It was like, I don't know. It was my thing and it was private. And my parents are always the chatty type. So I know they would have been like, who's sassy laser 28?
Well, that's why when you're chatting on AIM, you type POS, which means parent over shoulder, so they don't say anything bad.
Oh, shit.
No way. You just tell everybody, hey, if I put the number 6, that means my parents are in the room. Yeah. We're going to call that code 6.
Yeah.
Execute order 6.
Yes. Anyways, porno, check it out.
Check it.
See what you think. What are your thoughts on porno? Email podcast at mega64.com. Things you maybe have done when you watched a porno or...
speaking of email the podcast, we got a lot of good strip club stories last week. We were talking strip club stories last week. A lot of people sent in their own strip club stories.
Yeah.
We do a podcast question of the week all the time, but rarely do we get such an outpouring of responses.
We did. We got a lot.
Like we did with strip club stories. Maybe towards the end of the show, we'll read a couple of those.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
We'll do at least 3 or 4 because there were a lot of them. So I think that's tuned for that.
Yeah, you know what? I want to get back in the old school days of we used to read a lot more emails.
We did.
You know, and I ask for emails every week, and I rarely do we read them. So
they write them. We don't read them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I read them personally, and I go, wow, and then, but not on here. So, everybody out there, send an email. You know, just send one. We're going to read it.
Yeah, you can also share your comments down below. Let's get the YouTube comment section filled with porn talk, you know?
I kept hearing that somebody brought this up in the chat, that Garrett told a story on the PPS about the first time he touched breast implants. Now, I'm going to call over to Brian. Brian, I didn't hear the story.
Yeah.
But I get the impression it was underwhelming. Be real, Garrett's not in the room.
Okay, yeah. So it was basically this story about how he went down to TJ and had this whole long like build up about we crossed the border
like
and we decided to go do this. And we thought like, all right, he's gonna get into some juicy
stuff. Yeah, crazy.
We're gonna hear a crazy story. He's gonna have stolen a donkey or something nuts. And he's like, so I get into this strip club. And we sit down and like, you know, sure enough, I see the first pair of fake breasts in my life. And then sure enough, I even get to touch them. And then we're all just
sitting there. I even get to touch them.
And we're like, is that it? And yeah, that was it.
Oh my God.
That had to be told, though, to, you know, to be fair. That's a saga.
It's the perfect Garrett.
You know,
story.
Some people just don't know how to tell a story. It's about the ending. It's not how it go, how you got there. It's where you go.
Garrett will definitely listen to this. So, you know, is there any constructive criticism?
Look, if the conclusion of your story is I got to touch breasts, then everything leading up to that has to be I might not be able to touch breasts. Oh, touching breasts is definitely not happening tonight. I thought I was going to touch breasts, but then it was made clear to me that I would never touch breasts ever again. Then, when it happens, I actually got to touch them. It's like, oh, shit! Twist!
There's an arc.
It's the hero's journey.
Yeah.
The
hero's journey.
You don't have a story which, like, me and my friends set out to go find a pair of breasts to touch. Here's all this other shit that happened, and then we touched the breasts. Come on.
I just know, like I said, I didn't hear the story, but I wasn't able to pay attention to the whole show this last week. But I just, when it ended, there was just lots of, no, I thought the story was okay. I mean, he got to touch, it was like a lot of like debate, and I was like, is everything okay? Anyway, so check out the PPS if you get a chance, because you'll hear stories. Like
Rocco,
that.
What was the first time you touched a fake breast?
A fake breast?
Yeah, not a real one. We'll save that story for later.
Gosh, it must have been. It was probably a statue in Las Vegas.
Even that's a better story.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it was quick,
short, and sweet.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not wasting your time. Speaking of statues in Las Vegas, I still crack up about when Pokemon Go started. And, you know, they show you the milestones the landmarks, whatever they call them. Where to find the Pokestops or whatever. And I still crack up that came out and I went to Vegas within like 2 days of it coming out. And they were all naked woman statues. And it's like, did no one look at this? Like, there was, it was always like statues of like the breasts out and stuff, or the picture, like the circle would be just over that.
Well, nothing wrong with that. It's a statue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, but it was just just weird seeing it in a like Pokemon app.
I know. You know, we are so stigmatized here in America. You think a breast is bad or offensive?
No, I know. It just, it was just that seeing him next to Squirtle was just weird.
That's the way it should be.
Hell yeah.
But, you know, what, as a famous philosopher once said, what kind of 12-year-old doesn't know what a pair of boobs are?
Yes. You know what I mean? Very famous Violent J.
Violentius Geronicus once said that.
Roman philosopher. Yeah.
Yeah. Classic. Hey, I wanted to talk about
on knowing breasts.
Yeah.
was the scripture. What do you want to talk about?
I wanted to talk about a weird movie that we saw.
Oh hell yeah!
Just real quick, I want to bring this up. We went to this last week at a small indie theater. We'll plug them, whatever. Yeah. Digital Gym in San Diego. Is this great little art house theater that's here and has a tiny theater inside. And we saw, we went on Friday, that we saw this movie, Director's Cut. This movie, I think it's coming out, I think it's going to be on video on demand at the end of this month and like Blu-ray a little after that, whatever. But I think like May 29th or something like that, it's going to be on all the digital, whatever. This movie was batshit. This was a movie I heard about a long time ago because Penn from Penn and Teller wanted to make a movie, but nobody wanted to. So they crowdfunded it, whatever. That was a few years ago. But it was really fun going because Brian had no context on the movie at all. And the way the movie starts is the movie starts and then someone's doing commentary on the movie. So you're immediately thinking, okay, somebody... It literally starts. It's a nice looking movie. Hey, this is the director's commentary on this. And okay, notice the clock up there. Okay, now in this cut, the time is different. You know, that's the fault of the continuity person because they've got, okay, what is happening? Like, dude. And that's the premise of the movie is that some psycho stole the footage of this movie to make their own director's cut of what they thought would be better. But the whole movie is this movie within the movie, and then also the bonus features. It was nuts. Yeah. It was so, but I really enjoyed it. I really did. For like a low budget movie, enjoyed it.
The premise of the film is they're shooting a horror film starring like a famous actress. It's a crowdfunded movie, and one of the crowdfunders doesn't like the direction of the movie, so he kidnaps the lead actress, steals the footage, and implants himself in the movie throughout.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, so they had to shoot a real horror film, and they made it look like an early 2000s shitty like David Fincher type movie.
Yeah.
And then there's shitty iPhone and GoPro footage starring like Penn Jillette's character, intercut. And then on top of that, they do really shitty like YouTube After Effects of like Penn putting himself in the movie where it looks like cut out in MS Paint.
What?
Like
the
it's like
fuck?
Three things in one.
And then on top of that, there's commentary,
it's awesome.
Audio
it's
commentary
crazy.
From him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can tell why studios were like, I don't know.
Like it's Penn Jillette, and so like the film itself feels like a magic trick because you're watching it and it's like, how the fuck was this even like written as a screenplay?
Yeah,
like
right.
How did they construct it? And the magic trick works. Like it's it feels like watching a trauma film where it's like,
yeah,
this
it
is
did.
Just wild and crazy and pretty loose and janky, but it's fun and it's pretty ballsy.
Yeah, I would recommend, don't watch the, personally, I would recommend, don't watch the trailers online for it. Just watch it. If that sounds crazy enough that you want to see it, just go watch it, because I did feel like the trailers showed a lot of the funny like moments in it, like a lot of the stranger moments that I think would have been funnier had I not known
it
was going to happen.
Director's cut.
Yeah.
So look that up, which it's super easy to look up because there's nothing else with director's cut in the name.
Worst name.
But look up Penn, like Penn Jillette, director's cut. Great. But it'll be on video on demand and shit at the end of the month. I really had a good time.
Cool.
And Gilbert Godfrey, hadn't seen him in like a great hadn't seen him in a great film role in a long time, you know. I'm kind of a Godfrey nut, so
Because it's like Penn, like there's all the cameos from like a lot of like just like all of Penn's friends, so Gilbert Godfrey, Teller, and like all these things. But
Teller, who knew? Who knew he would
show
up?
He's able to get him in there. And also, there's about 20 minutes of Kickstarter credits at the end, so...
Yeah, so you can just chill for a while. I love that, like, people were, like, in... People, you know, a lot of times when I go to the theater, most of the time, I stay through the credits.
Yeah.
I'll stay to the end. This was one where it tested even the most mighty film fans. I mean, it was like... Okay, it's been about 15 minutes. Oh, they're at the Fs?
Oh my god.
Because like the credits ends and then it's the Kickstarter credits, but they show footage of like the Kickstarter like release party and it's Penn Jillette on bass.
Yeah, he's like
playing
shredding
bass
a guitar.
And it's 10 minutes of Penn Jillette playing music and just fucking a giant list of credits.
You know what's funny is I saw footage online because at the same time they played it in San Diego, they did the premiere in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And I there's on YouTube there's Q&A that they did, and those credits are going through the whole Q&A. So it's like even at the premiere with the people there, they didn't like
step
through
spice
that.
It
I was like,
credits are boring.
But anyway, cool. I guess if you funded and you saw your name, but
I didn't
see my name and I don't fund shit.
That's what I was still waiting to see. Like maybe they just like me and they'll include.
You know that thing. The thing about that is like, it's cool to see my name in something like that. Like if I had funded, I'd be like, oh, there I am. But I know nobody else gives a shit.
It's like a graduation.
It's cool for me, but I know that there are some people out there like, yes, everybody's going to see that.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody's going to see.
Yeah.
Who
trust
reads
me.
The credits?
Yeah.
Even if they do read it, they're not reading your name because they don't give a fuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're,
their own name.
They're playing on their phone.
Yeah.
No. People don't do that. People don't do that.
Dude,
it was, I saw, I went and saw Weird Al. Kevin and I went to the Weird Al show. Ruined because they didn't block phones.
Phones
ruined that show.
That he is not in costume?
Yeah.
How was that?
It was awesome. He did all, it was almost all originals. He did a couple parody things, but it was all his original, like, deep cuts. And it was...
Sounds awful.
No, it was awesome. It was awesome because two things I've always wanted to see him play. Shit from UHF. At what point in 2018 there's music from UHF being played live? His opening act was Emo Phillips.
Oh, wow.
Who, call me Mr. Butterfingers from that movie. It was excellent stand-up. It was great. He played shit from UHF and he played Albuquerque. Just like a 20-minute, like... How would you even describe that song?
I don't know.
It's like a story and a musical explosion. It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's fucking rad.
Yeah, and he always talked for years about how that song's too rough to play it live, so he would never do it.
It's a fucking 20-minute monologue.
Yeah.
Like, it's
and
awesome.
I've been
song.
Looking up set lists, and like most nights, he does not play that.
You got lucky.
You got amazing. Lucky. He played at Humphreys, which I think didn't you see Ringo there, Derek?
A long Ringo time ago. Starr and his all-star band. I like that. It's a good venue.
Yeah, I was gonna say. But what's funny, I don't think I had seen a show there. I thought I went to the Ringo one, but I guess not. I'd seen Ringo somewhere else. But it was smaller than I thought it would be. I just thought, oh, Weird Al, normally you see him at like the fair or some shit, and it's huge or whatever.
Pretty big when I went.
Yeah, I mean, maybe
they didn't have it to full capacity.
I don't know. But it looked like Weird Al talked about, because he told stories between all the songs and stuff. It was great. And he talked about, he's like, yeah, I looked it up, and I've actually played this venue in 1985. So I guess we did well enough that 33 years later, we got to play another show. But he commented on that. He's like, I don't remember. There's like hotel rooms. Yeah. Facing the stage.
Yeah, so you can watch the show from your hotel room.
But he said, like, I don't remember these being so close, so I don't know what's going on. Sorry if nobody wanted to hear Weird Al this late at night. I don't know. So I don't know if they modified anything, but anyway, it was a good show. And during the end, when he came out for an encore, he did a cover of a Foo Fighters song. Every night they do a different cover. I guess it's been different every night of the tour. They did This Is a Call.
Yeah.
Is that that's Fuck a Foo Fighters song. The best part of it was that these guys got in a huge fight, like right 5 feet away from us. Like right there. These giant dudes got in a brawl.
Who gets in a fight at a Weird Al concert?
That was my reaction as soon as it was happening. I was like, what a story to tell that no one will want to tell. Like,
yo, I fucking knocked this guy out at the Raffi concert. That guy was fucked.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I think someone was drunk and yelling during one of the songs. Yeah. And I think someone spoke up and then the fight began.
It's the same reason anybody fights in a venue.
Yeah.
Hey, shut up. No, fuck you.
I think that's what it was. But man, that was a goofy. I mean, everyone was like twice as big as me and wearing like Green Lantern shirts. It was awesome. It was so great. What a capper to that night. And he's starting to, he's playing the saw, like,
dude,
Mr. Anakin guy. You know, oh, it was awesome.
Ben, what happened? Oh, dude, I lost a tooth and I got black eyes at the Weird Al concert.
The band's fucking crazy.
Oh, I was so mad. He was playing Nature Trail to Hell, and I just got pissed.
Two men were found deceased at Humphreys by the Bay following an event at the Weird Al concert.
They were face down in the bay.
In which violence erupted.
Oh, man. It was great. You couldn't ask for a better capper.
They always say violence erupted. Like, does violence ever trickle out, you know?
A little bit of violence.
Yeah.
One hit here.
Yeah, just like, elbows there. Hey, buddy, come here. Hold on. Stabbed you in the gut. Little trickle of violence. They're so sensationalist.
A light drizzle of violence.
Yeah.
Damn, that sounds like a good movie title.
A light drizzle of violence.
Fuck yeah, I'm in the bench.
Cloudy with a Chance of Violence.
Yes, into that.
Enough of that meatball shit.
Hey, we have a sponsor.
SumoLounge.com has a chair for any situation. Sitting at your computer.
Can you watch South Park in a Sumo Lounge chair?
You can. You can watch South Park. You can attend a funeral. You can, you're willing to roll it in.
That's cool. Bring your own sumo to a funeral like that.
Well, you might as well be comfortable.
Now they're associated with death.
That's cool.
Just because they're dead doesn't mean you have to feel like you are.
Funerals can be a celebration of life.
It's a celebration.
You know, exactly. Of all the good times. And if they're sitting in a casket, they'll be comfortable. You want to be comfortable too?
Have you ever sat in a church pew? Or is that what that's called?
Yeah.
That's not comfortable.
That sucks.
No, that's if all churches ditch their pews.
And put sumos in?
And put sumos in.
I would probably go. I would probably go. Until then, I don't fucking think so.
So, by all means, suggest that to your local church. And go to sumolounge.com. Buy one for yourself so that you can speak from experience when you call Monsignor Gallagher. Thank you.
Thank you.
Also, hey, this Friday, shop.mega64.com, shop.mega64.com is ready to go right now and is beautiful and has an item for you. Peruse what we have, and I guarantee you'll find something very special. However, this Friday, there's a couple designs coming back that have been out for a while. The neon shirt, The electric shirt, I think, have not been on the store for a little bit, so those are going to go up this Friday. But there's some new stuff there right now. Thank you to everybody who pre-ordered. Like, we did the beanies, and hopefully some people are going to be starting to get, by the time you're watching this, some of the stuff they pre-ordered in the past. We did this Fine Brothers thing this week. They put up YouTubers react to their own video challenge or something. And I wore the Dream hoodie and Nightmare shirt, and oh my god, I have not stopped getting emails about that. So we'll find some other way for people to get those later. But the people who pre-ordered those a while back, you'll be getting those. If you don't have them now, you'll get them very soon. So, yeah, shop.mega64.com. Check it out. So yeah, on that note, this Fine Brothers thing came out, that I just mentioned. We aced it. Derek and I were on this. We had to guess our own videos from a second. They would play a second of a video, just like a, and you had to guess it. We aced it.
Did you watch the final video?
Yeah. Did you see it?
No.
Well,
I know we did good, because I was there.
But yes.
How did everybody else do? Basically, my question is, were we the best?
Well, here's the thing. We were.
Okay, great.
But they didn't include the last one. And I've been racking my brain trying to figure out why they did. What maybe it was a time thing or what, because I thought that was the most impressive. We did, they had us guess a few videos. The first one that they gave us was our No Man's Sky video. And it was just kind of.
That one was tough.
Ambient noise. Okay. And it was just like, wait, what is this? But then we got it. I feel like the way that it was is like Derek knew the video immediately, but then I would know the title of it. We kind of like worked as a
you
team.
You would see the video too though, right?
No.
We just heard it.
You
just
only audio. Heard it?
Oh, it was a second of audio.
Oh my god.
But we got it.
But I could see it in my mind.
Yeah. But we got it right away. And I thought the most impressive one was that the fourth one they played for us, it was the Spike TV Video Game Award commercial where Derek is a wizard.
Yeah,
he comes out of the TV. All they showed, all they played was, boom! It was like the Atari game we're playing on the TV at the beginning.
And I think you hear Sean go, man,
wow,
yeah,
man.
And it was and I knew the exact title: Spike TV Video Game Award Number 1, 2006.
Because you guys also have a ton of GameTap videos where it's the same sock sound effect. Jesus.
And they were like, "What? Whoa! Oh my gosh!" Man, that one's not in there. And I guess some people are saying they didn't show the fourth one for a lot of people. So I just kept trying to think, like, if there's something we said during that. Or maybe it just wasn't that entertaining because we gave them nothing. Maybe it was just like, oh, yeah, it's that video. The end.
No conflict. You know, there's nothing to show. They wanted to stump
you.
That's crazy. That's awesome.
Yeah, because some of the other people were going through, like, a lot of conflict to get theirs. But
must be hard to remember your videos when you don't really make them.
Hey. But, oh, yeah.
You know, I think that, first off, if they did any podcast, you guys would have been fucked. There's no way you would figure that out. But I have such a bad memory that I don't think I could pull that one off. There's no way.
Well,
when you are the one sitting and editing the videos, it gets ingrained into you.
Yeah.
I think a lot of other YouTubers, I don't know. I get the impression that a lot of YouTubers out there aren't involved every step of the process.
Right.
Aren't involved in every step of the process along the way to creating a YouTube video. Maybe they will write it. Maybe somebody else will write it and they'll just act in it. A lot of times they film it and give it to somebody else to edit. We do all that stuff ourselves, so it would be hard to find something that we didn't have a very strong familiarity with.
Yeah, and also, but also, too, we also live with our videos longer in the sense of, like, one, okay, so what you just said, we edit them a lot. But two, they play on Mega 64 TV all day. Three, we play them at, like, when we're at conventions. They'll play on a TV or at a panel. And then four, we release, like, Blu-ray box sets. So, like, just speaking for myself, I see each video, like, 500 times. Whereas if you're a vlogger, you do it and then you upload it and you walk away. Like, yeah. So, anyway.
Speaking of videos, you guys want to talk about the new video you guys made?
Yeah, that's right. We did put a video out this Friday. This last Friday? Yeah.
Yeah.
Was a response.
Not good.
No, I said our video was a response.
Oh. You said how was the response?
Was the response was really
either,
not good?
Either way, not good. No. No, it was a great response. But I have gotten a lot of people that are legit confused. That are like, wait, okay. Is Eric going to Rooster Teeth a bit now? Like, this was a funny video, but is the what is this a bit? There are people who are lost in the desert on this.
Yeah, count me in with one of them. Is it a bit? I don't fucking know.
Who knows?
The answer is no. It is not a bit. It is real life. And Eric, now he moved to Austin and he lives there and he roasted Rooster Teeth. And that is real. That's real life. And I wish him the best. But I do miss my friend. I do miss him.
Saying I wish him the best with that villain voice.
Yeah.
That, I don't buy it.
Yeah. Is cool. this a bit? I don't know.
Eric, I remember.
I wish you the best.
I remember hearing a story about when they. I think I've talked about this before, but when they when Google was showing off the synthetic meat that they made, the CEO of the company, it was a private event, but they some people who were there said the CEO lost his voice that day. And so when he came in and showed the meat they grew in a lab, he came in and went, "This is the meat that we've grown in a lab.
Oh, yeah, it's like
that will replace all meat." And they said, like, that presentation did not work. Because it was, like, super villain shit.
In the video, though, people... You said, like, my crying voice sounded good, but that was just my actual voice.
That was good acting.
That was just... There was no acting. I gotta be real.
Yeah. There were people who thought you were crying.
No.
But I knew better and knew it sounded
that
like
I
shit.
I can't cry.
Oh, yeah,
cry.
Sounds cool.
There were parts I couldn't use because it was like, I can't hear them. I'm sorry. Yeah. But anyway, yeah. So that is real. That happened. Eric moved over there. And, you know, a lot of people kept asking, like, why aren't you talking about that? Why didn't I hear about this on the podcast? Why didn't you say anything? You know, that's kind of his deal, and he didn't want to make a big deal out of it. So it was like, okay. And, but then he ended up being on that Rooster Teeth podcast, and it was like, okay. Well, now everyone is looking at this. So it's like, okay, so what do we do? And it's like, you know what? Everyone's talking about this. Let's dive in. Let's just dive in. And so we made that video.
I kind of felt bad because I felt like our fans heard about it through a third party, and I wouldn't, if I could choose to go back and do things differently, I would.
Yeah.
Personally.
Yeah. Yeah.
But,
I wanted to let you know.
But, you know, we're going to see Eric still. I still think that he's, you know, able to be in stuff if we can get on.
I mean, you saw the video.
Okay.
Once the lunchbox was destroyed, gate was closed.
Oh, fuck.
No, I'm sure you'll see him around plenty. Yeah. But it happened very suddenly, and like I said, we didn't really. It was just kind of like, okay, we'll make a big thing out of it, and then it was. Then it was all over Rooster Teeth. And for the record, that when I watch the Rooster Teeth podcast, the first thing Bernie talks about is, okay, who from Rooster Teeth reached out to Mega 64 about, like, this was happening? Nobody over there reached out to us. Nobody said anything. No. So
it
was
Wild West over there in Texas.
Yeah. So once again, the rift widens. You know, it started with the prank war. They, you know, back when we were just little kids fending for ourselves, they put all these posters all over our booth. And now this, now they're, you know, attacking on a corporate level. So how are we going to strike back?
Well, yeah. I mean, we just have Eric as a cold spy over there, and then he's going to activate, and then...
I'm not going to reveal if that's part of our plan or not.
You know, that's just hypothetical. Speaking hypothetical, that's not actually what we planned, so...
But all I'm going to say is sleep with one eye open.
Mm-hmm. It's like in this final
in the words
season,
of Slayer.
Final season of Sopranos and the whole mob war breaks out.
Yeah.
Fucking look out at the gas station.
One of these days we're all going to be here eating California burritos and go.
And Johnny's going to play on the.
All right. It's that day. Decapitate and do what business with whatever's left. And then it's going to be real bad. They're going to be. Matt Hullum is going to be playing with his train set.
Oh, no.
Oh, he left his phone in the car.
Don't.
So, get ready for... that's all I'm going to say.
Goodbye, Eric.
So, anyway. There's a send-off. But I'm going to say one more thing. That Eric definitely did not want me to say on here. advised me many times not to, and I know he's going to hate that I say this.
His AIM screen name is Eric Declares.
AIM shut down. Shit. He's going to hate this. He's going to want to pull my teeth out. Eric did so much for us here, just out of the love of the game, and like set a lot of things up for us to succeed in a lot of ways that were really, really great, and a great friend too. So yeah, I miss him here too.
Yeah.
So I want to say, you know, as much of a tribute or whatever as I can give him. Again, you'll see him around. It's not like he's dead, but you know, I do miss him because he did great stuff and he helped us out a lot. So thank you, Eric, very much for doing that. I know if he was here, he'd be fucking
annoyed
with me, but I, you know what? He's not here. I say whatever I want.
This is the last time that we were leaving together and I knew that he was about to go to Texas. I was like, inside of me, I want to give you a hug because you are my friend and you're leaving. But as a respect for you, I will not do that because I know you would fucking hate that. But
I wanted to pet his hair because he did like that.
Yeah, he loves that.
But so I did. Yeah. But anyway, I'm glad we said all that, and then literally the first thing in the chat was hashtag fuck Eric. No, that's not my hashtag. Not my hashtag. Some people have those pins that say not my president.
Yeah, not my hashtag.
No, not me. Not my hashtag. I don't believe in social media.
Cool.
Didn't you get attacked on social media this week for?
I don't even know if I want to talk about it. Oh, fuck. I don't know.
Well, we are long. We're running long, but you tell me.
We're running long?
Aren't we?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Fuck no. We're running short. Yeah, I will talk about it.
Let's open it.
No, I was just going to say, just don't talk about Zack Snyder or the DC Universe on Twitter.
Well, that's easy for me. I got that easy.
You don't care about
it. I can do that.
What made you open up the can of worms? Why did you want to talk about Zack Snyder?
I used Zack Snyder as an example. Because I talked about how, because everyone's talking about Speed Racer this week, because it's a 10th anniversary of the movie. And I brought up a story about how I met the artist who designed everything in the movie. Mm. Like 2 days after the movie came out, he was at Comic-Con, and it was right by our booth. And I said how much I liked the movie. And he was sad about Speed Racer had bombed.
Yeah.
And he was sad about that. And he's like, yeah, the whole crew was, you know, it got beat by What Happens in Vegas with Ashton Kutcher.
Oh,
and
fuck.
Everyone was just so hurt by that and, you know, whatever, that the movie got so forgotten in just a weekend. We worked so hard on it. And I just wrote about how it reminded me that, like, real people work on this shit. Like, even when it's, like, big studio shit, real people work on it, you know, and so it just made me, you know, it was like, I felt different after I had that conversation. And I mentioned, you know, even you, it's easy to like scoff at like something like Batman versus Superman, even, you know, whatever. But I know someone who ran into Zack Snyder at a theme park and brought up that he knew who he was. And Zack Snyder was like enthusiastically telling him about what was in Batman versus Superman. Like he was excited about it. And like I said, I was like, that's just an example. Real people work on this stuff. And man, just that. People were like, why would people write off Batman versus Superman? I'm just using that as an example of like big studio shit. Why would anyone write that off though? What's wrong with that movie? And it was like this flood of thousands of people searching his name or something.
Yeah, yeah.
All jumped on it, just going off about what a pea brain I had and like how stupid I was I got threats in my DMs, which I report.
Damn.
I had to report.
Warner Brothers' marketing team is really subversive.
Yeah,
that's
man,
fucking
they're
smart. Just hire people to talk shit on.
So
it.
Awesome. I didn't even. All my tweet said was Zack Snyder was enthusiastic.
So if I tweeted like I like Zack Snyder's Dawn of the Dead, will I get 6,000 people saying like why
I don't know.
Why not 300?
I don't know. But so I said like I wasn't even talking about the movie, and they said no, you implied it was stupid. Aaron from Game Grumps started replying to my tweet.
Oh,
he was like, no. Is this for real? And I said, I'm afraid to comment any further. I'm scared for my life. Just a joke.
Yeah.
And then that was like, people were going, wow, you have a strong opinion and then you play the victim. What? And I said, no, I'm just kidding. The movie blows ass. And then it got even worse. Wow. And it was bad.
Zack Snyder versus Rocco.
Another week in the life of Rocco.
Man, so it was.
Damn.
I feel like you're very. It's not a talent, but you attract hate. Very easily.
I'm not even going to say that. I attract a lot of strange people.
Dude, it's just like Batman.
I think that's a more general term. I'm the kind of person that I'll be just standing at some event and like the crazy person will talk at me.
Well,
for
I attract just like that. I attract strange people.
Oh yeah.
I see a lot of people slamming you sometimes without I don't know. I just see that a lot. Or maybe I hear about it a lot.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I just engage with that kind of shit more, or like, you know
maybe,
what I mean? Like,
maybe because I ignore people when they talk shit to me. I disappear.
Yeah,
you know, I don't push back. It gets worse.
Yeah, it's not even that I was necessarily pushing back against these people. I honestly only said what I just said.
Yeah.
Which is
Think it's just in general, though. I think I just like post more shit.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Maybe
in general, and I think the more you do, if it's a numbers game, you know,
gotta play the numbers.
But I don't know, but I've always felt that way. I always feel like I'm in any given situation, the crazies always like want to talk to me. And
well, I'm excited to see YouTube comments of people engaging more Zack Snyder debate. I just want these YouTube comments to just flood in.
I don't care. I really don't.
He cares.
He cares.
Sucker Punch, good. Go
Rocco
watch.
Was
hell
texting
yeah.
me at 2 a.m. saying how much he cares, and he's just trying to play it cool.
Yes, that's what I was doing.
This is just gonna be like the Fine Brothers thing. We're gonna kind of make a joke at the Fine Brothers. You're gonna be the next Zack Snyder movie.
Okay.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah.
You're in Batman vs. Superman.
301.
Fuck yeah.
They did a 300 sequel.
Yeah, no one's
saying.
What was
it called?
Sin City sequel.
Yeah. 400.
It was called.
I think it was like
Rise of the 300 Spartans.
Again.
It was a prequel.
299.
300. It was a prequel, and that's what I was saying. Like, why wasn't it 299?
Let's call it one.
I know this has already been discussed ad nauseum everywhere, but I still think the biggest fucking miss opportunity in I'm not the only one saying this, in movie titles, is that there was a movie called Now You See Me.
Oh, yeah.
And they made a sequel called Now You See Me 2. Mm-mm. That was your fucking chance to call it Now You Don't.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Nobody would have known what the movie was.
Fuck that.
But no one
all did. The diehard Now You See Me fans.
No one went anyway.
Honestly, I didn't know what Now You See Me was. And then when I found they're making a sequel, I was like, I don't know what this is.
That happened
so
with
same
like
boat.
There was like a
same
movie called like Red 2 that came out and like Horrible Bosses 2, and it's like what the fuck are all these sequels at?
More Horrible Bosses.
Yeah.
I actually on that note, I'm done with the sequel naming scheme that it just like simple like the. Like there's a new Predator coming out and it's called The Predator.
Oh, these like reboot
Can we get back to honestly, I'd be fine with just
Predator
stick, 4, go to
Predator
numbers.
5. That'd be fucking cool.
Yeah, just oh my god, it's so annoying.
What's James Cameron
the Predator?
Do with
you know,
Avatar sequels?
It's not about being artistic or creative. It's those are marketing decisions.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Stuff you're talking about. It's dumbed down so that it's easy to understand and digest.
Yeah.
Not only that, but it's people thinking, should I go? I mean, I've kind of seen some Predator movies. I don't know if I should see this one.
Yeah.
Oh, it's called The Predator.
This is the one for me. That's a good point.
I'm going to give you all of my money and see this movie.
Because I have read stuff before where it talked about that, where things sell. Like, honestly, with a lot of books, too, I know a lot of webcomic artists that sell, like, printed volumes of their stuff. And they find that like when they're called 2, 3, 4, they don't sell as good.
Two,
so they started like titling them. Yeah. So
all right.
You know,
our next version is called The Mega 64.
The Mega 64. Fuck yeah.
Get ready.
The Mega 64.
Well, it already has a name and it's very obtuse. So
we'll just stick to the. Well, we have the subtitle Revenge Erection.
No, I'm saying one after.
Move that up.
Yeah.
Oh,
number
5.
Okay. All right. The Mega 64.
The Mega 64.
Yeah.
There you have it. Did you see the trailer for the new Predator?
No.
Wait, is it called the New Predator or is it called the Predator?
Oh, sorry, the Predator. Okay. It should be called the New Predator. It's like a kid. I think it's like a sick kid or something.
Hell yeah!
Cool. Can control the Predator.
Fuck yeah!
That's what I gleaned from the trailer. I don't know if
the sick kid is the Predator.
Oh wow!
Maybe it's like to catch a Predator this time. Yeah. Like they take advantage of the kid.
The Predator is the victim.
Predator
in this
teams
movie.
Up with
Yeah. The Predator helps Chris Hansen fight a real Predator.
Hell yeah.
I don't really need another Predator.
What scares the Predator?
Well, of course you don't.
Arnold covered in
Make a movie about that.
Yeah.
Alien.
Arnold covered in mud doesn't scare the Predator, but what does?
Xenomorphs.
That's got to be fucking scary. They weren't scared of the aliens.
Yeah, they were.
You're just saying things they fought. Clearly, they weren't scared of those things.
What scares you? Like
snakes?
Traffic? Car anxiety?
Maybe that's
what...
What?
Street parking.
Are you talking about me?
No, I'm talking about what scares me.
Oh,
okay. Make a Predator try to drive up in LA traffic. Oh, Jesus. Does a Predator know how to operate a car?
That's actually a great fucking movie, right?
Yep.
Here's the whole movie. It's LA traffic, and a guy's sitting in traffic, and he's hearing news reports.
Yeah.
Something fucking crazy is happening
back
behind him. What? I was there like 5 hours ago, 5 miles ago.
Yeah.
I don't see anything crazy. Then you see people running past the car. What the fuck is happening? And then you hear it from the distance. And he looks at his rearview mirror, and like standing on top of a bus is the open mouth Predator.
Whoa.
But this guy's stuck in traffic.
Yeah.
So he has nowhere to fucking go. And the Predator's just making his way up,
man.
Killing everybody in the cars. That's a good fucking movie.
There you go. See, you put yourself into your work.
All I'm saying, the Predator stuck in LA traffic is a good fucking movie.
Better than what they got going now. The kid controlling him.
I mean, I could be wrong on that, but that's what I think.
That's what it is. You have the insider info with like Zack Snyder always tweeting with them.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
The inside man.
Yeah.
I don't think any of the Predator sequels have been good.
I need to watch Predator 2. Is that tight? It looks shitty.
No.
Predator 2 is the best you're going to do for a Predator sequel. All
right, I'm into that.
It's not as good as the original by any means.
Yeah, I like schlock shitty sci-fi. Like, if you're in the right mindset for
it's not schlock shitty sci-fi. It is schlock inner city crime movie.
Oh, fuck yeah.
With the Predator in it.
Hell yeah.
You know, it's like an early 90s inner city.
Nice.
And, you know, there's like drug dealers.
Oh, it's like Death Wish.
Danny Glover, he's a cop. And, you know, he gets put on the beat, has to track down the Predator.
Oh, I'm into
Personally, I saw it for the first time 4 years ago, maybe. Personally, I didn't think Predator 2 was even fun in a, like, so bad it's fun way. I thought it was like this. I wish I would have watched something else.
Well, I think it's fun.
All right.
I think it's so bad it's fun.
Keep
so take your pick.
I
first saw that movie when I was really young, and that was the first Predator thing I ever saw. It scared the shit out of me. Him on the. There's a scene of him, like, terrorizing a subway. That gave me nightmares when I was a kid. In fact, I distinctly remember going to the video store with my dad, VHS video store called 99 Cent Video. They've been out of business so long. And he's like, ooh, Predator 2. We should get this. And I was like, what is that? He's like, it's like a movie about an alien. That's all he said.
Nice.
And I was like, let's get it. And we watched it. And that night I was like, I will never sleep again.
Well, it's like it's amazing when like just small movies you watch as a kid can leave such an imprint, because you don't know as a kid if a movie's good or bad. Like if it's special to
you,
it's fucking cool.
You don't.
I think for me, Predator 2, it's in like such fast motion. The whole movie, it's almost like on fast forward. It goes so fast through all these like. The second the movie starts, everyone's shooting each other, and it just never stops.
No, it's not a good movie.
Yeah.
Everything you're saying makes it sound cool.
It's not a good movie. It's such a contrast to the original Predator.
Yeah.
I think if you really love the original Predator, you'll get a kick out of how they fucked it up so bad with Predator 2.
Yeah.
But it's very, I mean, it's super cheesy.
There was one thing, though, that was cool to see. I was like, oh, okay, they showed that.
The Predator.
I mean, it's the oldest thing, but is it a spoiler at this point? I don't know.
Well,
yeah, it is.
Yeah,
for people who
haven't, don't ruin it for me, Rob.
But then there was what? Predators. Obviously, there was Alien versus, but that
Rodriguez
fuck that.
Reboot, whatever.
But Predators was. I didn't think that was good. That movie was like cosplay. It was like, how do we defeat this thing? Oh, I heard once a guy got in the mud, and it's like,
where did you hear that? If you didn't watch Predator,
where
did you get that fucking idea? I wonder.
Yeah.
I got that idea when I saw Arnold kill the
Mission
Predator.
Debriefing when Arnold came back.
I remember being in high school. I heard this story about a guy who killed an alien covered in mud. That must be this alien.
There's one part in that movie where a guy, they pick up all these different people from all around the world to go against the Predators. And it's all bad, I think. But there's one part where a guy who was Yakuza, like, only has a blade on him. And gets caught by a Predator and has to go against him. And I remember thinking, yeah, this part fucking rules because it's different. You know what I mean? It's like, this one guy gets caught off guard and all he has is that. And then he like faces the predator with that, and the predator starts to pick up that that's all he has. So the predator starts taking his stuff off.
Oh,
and that part was that part was good, because it was like, okay, now we're on a level where it's like, I don't know what's
That would have been the best. And, right? The Yakuza guy drops the sword, unzips his pants, pulls out his dick. The predator.
Yeah.
That's a Japan that, again. Opens up his, you know, four-flap dick, whatever it is.
Yeah.
His is bigger. So the Yakuza guy just leaves because he's embarrassed.
I wonder if they have cool dicks, probably. The predators.
They got fucking dreadlocks and everything.
Yeah, well, I was going to say they got an awesome vagina up here, so they must have cool dick, too.
Yeah, that's cool.
Okay, if the predator is... Given a BJ, is it good or bad?
Podcast question of the week.
I'm going to say bad.
I'm going to say not a good experience.
I feel like if you can get that close, if you can get that close to the predator, and like, I don't know, I feel like I'd be up for that.
Maybe the predator has some crazy space moves you've never heard of.
Damn, dude.
Yeah,
about 60 rows of teeth. Yeah. You're not supposed to use those, Kevin.
Oh,
that's
man.
That's like Hellraiser shit, where pleasure is, you know, pain is pleasure. So
one set of teeth is already bad for a BJ, so, just avoid doing that.
Okay, serious question. Mm-hmm. Alien versus Predator, which one would you rather have sex with less?
Less.
Wait.
I don't want you to
have. You have to fuck the alien or fuck the Predator. Which do you choose?
I choose Mama Xenomorph, the big fucking giant 12-foot thing.
The queen? That's the queen.
Yeah, man. Yeah. That makes me the king.
You know...
Dude, fucking everything's slimy. Just keep it away from fire.
I gotta go Predator, because Alien, they got that acid thing. So if it's sometimes...
I think it's safe to say, no matter what, you're not surviving the experience.
Yeah, but acid is like... But, like, here's with Predator, it's probably going to end in, like, oh, beheading. I'm dead.
Yeah.
With the alien, who knows? It might be like, oh, acid on my dick.
Trapped in the fucking, what, like.
Acid on my dick, like, maybe I just want to die at that point. Yeah. Like, just have the Predator. Then the Predator gets his skull. He's happy. Mm-hmm. Go nuts.
Gets skull, gives it, whichever. It's all good. Beasties, boners.
It's all good. It's all good to me.
Yeah,
can we read a couple of strip club stories and then wrap this up? Unless Sean wants to bring up a topic. Sean, I know you're sad about Eric being gone, but get over it.
Get over it, dude.
No, I'm kidding. I'm really sad about Eric being gone.
Yeah. You can still text him. But you know what
we
like
didn't say that I wanted to say is I want to thank our friend Brian for stepping up.
Hell
and
taking
Until fucking Rooster Teeth offers him money, then he's gone.
Yeah, and if you could just maybe this time shoot us an email and just give us a heads up, that'd be nice.
Or stick to your own fucking community. Anyways, strip club stories.
What do we got?
Strip club stories.
Thank you, Brian.
It's okay. Brian... told me he would never take another gig with this, even no matter how much they offered him, no matter how sweet the deal, he said he would never, ever do that, no matter what the cost. Anyway, thanks, Brian.
I haven't screened any of these stories. I don't know if they're good. Should I just pick three at random?
Yeah.
All right, here's one. Random strip club story in response to our strip club stories from last week. Hey guys, a number of years back, I went to a local strip club in my town and got very drunk for a friend's birthday. At the end of the night, after I scrambled up on a stage and had a stripper grab a $5 bill out of my mouth with her pussy lips in front of all my male and female friends, I got a lap dance from a girl who was in no way having it that night. Being very drunk, I asked her if I could feel her up when she was grinding on me, and she said yes. I proceeded to, and when I got to the tits, she leaped off of me, whipped around, slapped me with a moderate amount of force, and stormed off. I'd never been so scared in my entire life that I was going to get the shit beat out of me by a bouncer, but thankfully nothing came of it. I left the back room, made a beeline for the front door where my friends were smoking outside, and we left shortly afterwards. The end.
Whoa.
A little danger. I like
so he got slapped by a stripper. This email is titled...
You're not allowed to touch him, I thought. Isn't that the rule?
Yeah.
He broke a rule.
Yeah. This is a strip club story that takes place in South Florida.
Hell yeah.
Last time I was at a strip club, it was August, and the club I went to was having a Christmas theme. I took my brother's Romanian friends. A couple of minutes after we arrived, a bunch of strippers asked me if I was Ed Sheeran. So I explained I was his cousin, William Sheeran. After a while, William Sheeran was offered a threesome for a grand. I didn't have the money.
Oh, man.
Never. That's a great short story. Yeah,
go find an ATM.
Your cousin couldn't hook you up with anything?
Wait. Oh, wait. I don't mind if you tell the story on the podcast. Okay, thanks.
Oh. Well, there you go.
Go find a payday advance store. Automatic teller machine.
Should be paying for the honor to be
lottery tickets.
That's what I thought. Yeah. Get the Sheeran special.
Yeah.
So there you have it. Anyway.
And they tell the story of one time I almost fucked Ed Sheeran's cousin.
Yeah. But he was too cheap.
So, yeah. Ed Sheeran's family is cheap.
Yeah, you made Ed Sheeran look
We got a lot more. You want to do one more and keep it going? Sean said no, but here we go. I met this stripper that was allergic to THC. We went out to smoke at the back porch of the strip club, and when we went out, we smelled weed out there. Later on, she asked me to buy her a private dance, so I did. She starts going into an allergic reaction after 30 minutes. I start freaking out, not knowing what to do. Another stripper comes into the private room to help her out. Then the bartender came in yelling at me, saying I need to pay up for having two strippers in the private room and pay for going over 30 minutes. They ended up calling the ambulance. It all got cleared up, and I didn't have to pay extra, but was still pretty scared from a wild experience.
That's pretty good.
There we go.
That's pretty nutty.
Thank you for watching, everybody.